Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got another hour to discuss health. That's what I like doing each weekend, and hopefully you can join me. And if you'd like to participate, call us at 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255. This hour. We've got lots to talk about this hour, however. And we'll start by talking about how an anti-inflammatory diet could reduce the risk of bone loss in women. All right. Well, we heard a lot about something called the DII, the Dietary Inflammatory Index. And I recently took a look at the science behind this. It's based on an exhaustive study of how different foods and food components could either promote inflammation or reduce inflammation. Things that are classic anti-inflammatory elements in the diet are the phytochemicals and micronutrients, vitamins and minerals that are found in healthy foods, commonly found in fruits and vegetables. There's also soluble fibers, which may exert their anti-inflammatory action via the gastrointestinal tract, being healthy to foster good bacteria within your intestinal tract. Spices and herbs may also have an anti-inflammatory effect. Fish oil has a major anti-inflammatory effect. Well, what are some of the pro-inflammatory things in our diet? Well, lots of sugar, lots of refined food. Lots of trans fats are pro-inflammatory. In fact, too much in the way of refined vegetable oil with omega-6 is pro-inflammatory. So this is actually something that has been exhaustively researched and compiled, and they've come up with this DII, Dietary Inflammatory Index. And what they found, quite predictably, is that one's risk of cardiovascular disease is directly related to your dietary inflammatory index, whether it's plus, which means you're getting protection, or whether it's minus, which means that the inflammatory foods you're eating are dragging you down. And so at Ohio State University, they applied this DII to a study looking at fractures. And what they found, quite interestingly, is that diets with low inflammatory potential appeared to correspond to lower risk of hip fractures among at least one subgroup of the study. Not necessarily all the women in the study responded, but at least one important subgroup of the study, postmenopausal white women younger than 63, had an effect when it comes to eating an anti-inflammatory diet. So the researchers found a correlation only between high inflammatory diets and fracture in younger white women in the study. Higher scores, however, were associated with an almost 50% larger risk of hip fracture in Caucasian women younger than 63. So that's a pretty significant effect. And, you know, we talk about acid alkaline. I'm not sure that's going to pan out in terms of predictor of risk for fracture. Although there's kind of a high correspondence between acidic foods and inflammatory foods. This is better, I think, than the acid alkaline model because it looks specifically at the effects of certain foods or food constituents on inflammation. And we know inflammation causes so much trouble in the body. It may be associated with a higher risk of cancer, higher risk of heart disease, higher risk of stroke, higher risk of Alzheimer's disease. And now, in a new study, higher risk of bone loss and osteoporosis. So interesting study. When it comes to mood, well, we often talk about orthomolecular psychiatry, which means not so much using drugs to treat medical problems and like depression, but the use of diet and supplements to help patients with depression. Well, conventional medicine doesn't take much of this approach because they're all about drug treatments. But it turns out that new research suggests that a healthy diet may help depressed patients. And I say, duh, I've been doing this for literally decades. A study was published last week in the journal BMC Medicine and found that a third of patients assigned to a group that followed a modified Mediterranean diet, that sounds a little like our salad and salmon diet that we advocate at the Hoffman Center, met the criteria for remission in 12 weeks compared with just 8% in a control group. So one-third got better in 12 weeks on the diet compared with just 8% in a control group. I'd say that's a pretty dramatic result. I mean, look, the majority of patients, their depression continued, but a significant minority responded really nicely in a fairly short time to diet modification. And, of course, psychiatrists cautioned that the study provides no evidence that diet changes could replace traditional treatments for depression. Well, we're not saying never use medication or shock treatment or any of the conventional ways that we treat severe depression in this country, but the psychiatrists acknowledge that diet could be beneficial as an add-on treatment, and I say use it always in support of treatment for depression. Work on diet as a means of helping the brain. Why should diet make a difference in terms of mood? Well, ups and downs of blood sugar can send mood skyrocketing in different directions. Patients who are irritable, prone to anger, we often take a look at hypoglycemia and dips and peaks of blood sugar as a cause of emotional instability. But also, let's get back to the issue of inflammation. We talked about inflammation in relationship to bones. The brain is an organ, too. It resides in the body. It stands to reason that what you eat can influence your brain. And we're now coming to recognize that depression is, at least in part, an inflammatory disorder of the brain. That's why anti-inflammatory supplements like fish oil and curcumin seem to be effective in the treatment of depression. And thus, an anti-inflammatory diet, aka the Mediterranean diet or the salad and salmon diet, rich in phytonutrients, low in junk, sugar, additives. This type of diet may exert a positive effect on mood and help to alleviate depression. Very interesting study out of BMC Medicine. And a first of its kind, but clearly this is something that we as natural practitioners have been looking to, because a contributing factor to the problems of many of our patients is depression and anxiety. And coming up with natural ways to treat depression and anxiety is very important in my field, the field of nutritional medicine. All right, 877-726-TALK is our number. Call us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Mom, can I have some fry?
Sure, honey.
Thanks, Mom.
You know what that is? That's the sound of my child thanking me for giving her something that's actually good for her teeth. Spry Gum is part of the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products made with 100% xylitol, the all-natural sweetener with proven dental benefits. So when we're at home, my whole family uses Spry toothpaste and mouthwash to help strengthen our teeth and reduce the risk of tooth decay. And when we're on the go, I just throw some Spry Gum and mints right into my bag. My kids love it, and I love that it's all natural. No sugar, no aspartame, or any other chemicals. Just think of that. I reward my kids for taking care of their teeth at home by giving them gum and mints on the go that are good for their teeth. Visit SpryDental.com or ask for Spry by name at your local health food store. You can also ask your dentist about Spry and make sure your mouth is receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
At Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, Kroger's, and all natural product retailers. Find a retailer near you at clear.com.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support, so switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Welcome back to Television Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and you can call us 877-726-8255. 877-726-TALK is our number, and if you decide not to call this hour, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll take your question and use it for our weekly Q&A with Layla, which is a podcast heard weekly via drhoffman.com or your favorite iTunes or Stitcher podcast delivery service. And we also have another way that you can get questions to us. You go to our homepage at drhoffman.com and click on the black bar that's on the homepage, and it'll prompt you to leave us an audio message, a question that we will answer during our program. But we've got lab callers today, so let's talk to Kathy from Appleton, Wisconsin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
My question, I have two questions. One, how to handle tinnitus, and the second one is burning mouth syndrome.
Okay. Well, you know, there actually may be some relationship between those two. You suffer from both of those?
I do.
Okay. So when it comes to tinnitus, I think is the correct pronunciation.
Okay. Thank you.
When it comes to tinnitus, you know, let's talk first from a dietary standpoint. It's important to follow what's called a low salicylate diet, because salicylates, I mean, aspirin, for example, can sometimes trigger ringing in the ears. And sometimes by eliminating things that are high in salicylates from the diet, people get relief. So some healthy foods like tomatoes, for example, might be high in salicylates. There's a list of high salicylate foods on the, you know, you can find it, Google it, and try and eliminate those foods for a while, see if it makes a difference. I mean, different strokes are different folks. Sometimes that helps, and for others it doesn't. Also, try to avoid excess salt, caffeine, sugar. The reason for sugar elimination is because ups and downs in blood sugar can trigger tinnitus, and a high percentage of people with tinnitus have an insulin dysregulation, so it's worth trying to get the sugar up. Besides, you know, these are harmless things to do. They'll make you healthier anyway. It's not like you're taking a drug with harmful side effects. Also, artificial sweeteners and MSG may act as neuroexcitatory agents, increasing brain stimulation that may, in some people, trigger tinnitus. And some people are intolerant to certain foods. Certain foods actually predictably will trigger their tinnitus, and that's a bit of a trial and error thing that you can discover via an elimination diet. Also, when it comes to supplements for tinnitus, among the ones that work, ginkgo may help. Ginkgo biloba is a circulatory enhancer in the inner ear and may help. Something called lipoflavonoid, which is a lipid-soluble flavonoid that can work to reduce swelling. Flavonoids tend to reduce capillary leakage and swelling, where pressure may be a factor in tinnitus in the inner ear. Pycnogenol works in a similar way. Also, consider vinpocetine, which is kind of a brain-enhancing nutrient, a nootropic, sometimes referred to. And vinpocetine has been shown in some studies to reduce tinnitus. I mean, tinnitus is a challenging problem. So, you know, sometimes you really have to do a whole workup on a person to find out, you know, what's going on? Do they have a low B12, something going on that is unforeseen? Burning mouth syndrome, a tough kind of problem, but the nutrient that is most successful at dealing with burning mouth syndrome is something called alpha lipoic acid, or ALA. And ALA in some particularly German studies has been shown to alleviate burning mouth syndrome. I have a couple of patients with this problem. It's very devastating. And of course, it can be due to a yeast infection or, you know, aphthous ulcers, something that can be treated topically. But often it's a nerve problem. And, you know, that's why I think there may be a similarity between the burning mouth syndrome and the tinnitus. Both are nerve problems. And nerve problems sometimes are alleviated with alpha lipoic acid, maybe B12 shots. Both are challenging problems. I'm not saying it's a piece of cake and there's an easy panacea and we get 100% results, but it's worth applying some of these nutritional principles because the conventional treatments, as you know, are not doing the trick. They only partially alleviate the problem. And often you feel very sedated with the medication that they give you. How's that sound?
Yeah, I haven't tried going down the medication route because reading some of the side effects really don't sound appealing.
Exactly.
You know, like you're saying. Now, how much are you talking about, like, in dosage, you know, for the vinpocetine, maybe the alpha lipoic acid?
I can't give you exact doses on vinpocetine, but I'll tell you, alpha lipoic acid, I would do, you know, 600 milligrams up to 5 or 6 a day. That should be taken with food. It's better tolerated when you take it with food because on an empty stomach, some people experience burning with alpha lipoic acid. But that should help. So give it a shot. And I'll tell you what, call us back if you get results. Thanks for calling. All right, this item, air pollution has been definitively linked to Alzheimer's disease, according to a new study. Once again, the brain resides within the body. Stuff that you breathe gets throughout your circulatory system. And the toxins delivered by air pollution eventually end up in your brain. Researchers looked at health data from nearly 3,700 elderly women, and what they then discovered was that their proximity to air pollution was associated with their risk for Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons beyond just the lungs to keep our air clean. And this is a contributing factor. Environmental pollution may wreak major havoc on all organs of the body, and the brain is particularly sensitive to toxins. All right. 877-726-TALK is our number. We'll get to more of your calls in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the Intelligent Medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and we got a call from Marlene. Marlene's from Iowa. How you doing, Marlene?
Doing good. I'm so happy to be able to talk to you.
It's my pleasure.
My husband has been having trouble with his prostate for quite a little while now, and having, you know, quite a time with being able to totally empty his bladder. Mm-hmm. And we've tried several things. In the past, we've tried saw pimento, and he really didn't see anything out of that. Mm-hmm. And then recently, I'd done some research and saw that the, and I don't know that I'm going to say this right, the beta-sitosterol.
Beta-sitosterol, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've tried that, like a little over a month of that, and he said it didn't help at all.
Right.
And so now we've went to what's called an advanced prostate support that has soft pimental and that in it, and cortisone, a whole bunch of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Although I do have to tell you, he's not. Hasn't taken it for very long, but he says he still has not seen anything out of that.
Okay, so let me comment on that, because here's what I think, and here's what studies suggest, is if you have an advanced major enlarged prostate, which many men have, they'll have a prostate that's, you know, two or three times normal, once that has developed, you know, say in your 50s or 60s, salt palmetto and beta-sitosterol and pumpkin seed and zinc and, you know, all the things that they have in these formulas will not reverse the problem. And they may provide a little tiny bit of symptomatic relief, but I have in front of me a review from September 2011, a few years back, but it's still relevant. The study is from the National Institutes of Health, and, okay, you may mistrust that because it's the government. But, you know, it's a study, and it's relevant. It's part of the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, where they specifically study natural remedies, hopefully to inform the public. You know, are you wasting your money? Is it relevant? Is it going to work? They're not biased against natural therapies. If anything, they may try to support the use of natural therapies. And the title of the article is "Salt Palmetto No More Effective Than Placebo for Urinary Symptoms." Okay, the NIH-funded study found that dietary supplements don't alleviate BPH. So I'm not a big fan of these dietary supplements, except for prevention. And I personally have been taking salt palmetto, not with beta-sitosterol, because I think beta-sitosterol is just sort of a cheap, refined substitute for salt palmetto, which is becoming increasingly expensive for supplement manufacturers to use. It's actually become kind of an endangered species because there's such a demand worldwide for prostate pills that salt, the commodity price for salt palmetto extract is going sky high. So beta-sitosterol, cheaper, you know, equivalent of that, but no better and maybe not as effective. I think that the way that salt palmetto works is for prevention. And, you know, I'm happy to say, relatively advanced age of 64, that's not one of my problems. Perhaps in part to good diet, perhaps in part to good genes, but I've been taking salt palmetto for the better part of 20 plus years, and I think it definitely works for prevention. So what do you do now? Question for you, Marlene, is have you been to a urologist? Have you gotten a checkout?
No, we have not. Just family
okay,
doctor.
Well, it's time. It's time to go to your urologist.
Okay.
And, you know, and I guess, you know, one of the problems here is I think that supplements are great, but I think that when you hear, like, you know, the carpet bomb with radio ads for prostate supplements, it's such a common problem among men that men rely upon these supplements to the point where they suffer needlessly without going to the urologist, where there are some effective medications that help to reduce the discomfort. And if the medications don't work, there are new forms of surgery that can relieve the pressure on the prostate. So why suffer needlessly? Why sacrifice income on supplements that aren't working? I'm not saying that there are no men who ever respond, you know, when the prostate's slightly enlarged to some of these things, but when it's far gone, you need to consider medications like Proscar or Avodart to shrink the prostate, or things that affect urinary flow like Flomax. And there are newer medications as well for urinary flow. So I'm not against the use of the medications. Don't get me wrong. People listen to this program and says, oh, Dr. Hoffman says never use a medication. No, that's not the case. Judicious use of medications that are less likely to be harmful, I'm for them. Okay? So hope to steer you in the right direction. The GP should have made the referral to the urologist a long time ago. It's time to get some relief. And I think that that's something to look forward to in 2017. Okay, Marlene?
Yes.
That's one way you can help your... You know, guys, they just don't want to go to doctors, and sometimes they need their wives to give them a little nudge. Go see a urologist, honey. Stop complaining. I'm tired of hearing all your complaints. I'm tired of you getting up in the middle of the night five times and disturbing my sleep. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
All right. This item has to do with natural management of high blood pressure. Yeah, there are lots of medications to treat high blood pressure, but it's preferable to avoid them. And what are some of the options? Well, if you want to lower your blood pressure safely, naturally, without medication, I've got some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. We've been talking about it. Our patients and listeners have been using it. It's the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally. That's so effective that it works for 9 in 10 people. What is it? It's a simple handheld smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day. It's a wonder of engineering that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. And there are studies that validate that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. And that may be all that it takes to help you either reduce your blood pressure medication or avoid taking medication completely. You can try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, return it for a full refund. To find out more, we set up a website, tryzona.com, or call toll-free 888-408-6141. That's 888-408-6141, or tryzona.com. Check it out. All right, Venus Williams recently was in the news because of her dramatic showdown with her sister as part of the Australian Open. Kind of weird timing because, it 12 hours difference or something like that. And so, it's nighttime there, it's morning there. But a lot of people who are tennis fans watching this dramatic showdown between Venus Williams and her sister. But Venus has lagged in performance behind her illustrious sister because she was diagnosed with Sjogren syndrome in 2011. That's an autoimmune condition that causes dry eyes and dry mouth. But more than that, it can cause joint pain and fatigue. And it was obviously debilitating for Venus. She was pretty under the weather for a while. I'm not a big tennis fan, but I understand she made a big comeback. And she attributes it to her plant-based diet. She, for a while, became a raw foods vegan. And there's an interview with her here. Why did you begin a plant-based diet? She said, I started for health reasons. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and I wanted to maintain my performance on the court. Once I started, I fell in love with the concept of fueling your body in the best way possible. Not only does it help me on the court, but I feel like I'm doing the right thing for me. She said, and then she was asked, how did that affect your playing? She says, I literally couldn't play tennis anymore, so it really changed my life because it was starting to take away what I loved. I had to make some changes. I had to change my life. Thankfully, I was able to find something that helped me get back to doing what I loved. So she attributes her improvement to a vegetarian diet. And I'm not so keen on a total vegetarian diet, particularly for athletes who have a lot of demands on their muscles. It's sometimes hard to get adequate protein for muscle repair. However, the nice thing about a vegetarian diet or a diet that's heavily plant-based is that it introduces lots of beneficial phytonutrients, lots of helpful fiber. It can change your microbiome, the bacteria that inhabit your gastrointestinal tract, because you're feeding the microbes good food and you're suppressing the growth of the bad microbes by withholding sugar and junk and poor quality oils and fats. And this can make a big change. It's certainly an elimination diet. She clearly eliminated dairy as part of this. And for some people, eliminating dairy can be very profound in terms of its health benefits. She uses almond milk instead of milk, and that seems to have made a difference. They ask her, do you have any favorite recipes that you like? And she says, one of my favorite recipes is celery root soup. That sounds nutritious. I get celery root, tomato, and some silk almond milk as a base to thicken it a little bit, and then maybe I'll add pan-fried garlic. It's a nice natural anti-inflammatory, maybe some truffle oil, and it makes for some interesting dishes. So And, you know, I think it's great because she's an athlete. She's a role model. There's another athlete who attributes his athletic prowess, at least in part, to a healthy diet. I think you heard of him. There's a fellow named Tom, Tom Brady, I think it is. I think he plays football. In fact, I think he's involved in some kind of sporting event this weekend. So, diet, has an impact, for athletes. Most, high-end athletes, are following specific dietary regimens that are tailored to their needs. Djokovic, who figured prominently in the Australian Open, I think he figured prominently by getting trashed early being eliminated. But nonetheless, a very successful athlete dramatically improved its performance after embarking on a gluten-free diet. So diet, very important for athletes. I find diet crucial to my continued ability to run, bike, swim, and remain flexible and relatively free of injury and soreness. And therefore, regardless of whether you're a high-performing athlete, clearly this is an illustration of the power of diet change. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Antioxidants are the nutritional defense force patrolling our bodies looking for free radicals. Free radicals can destroy healthy cells, leading to disease. Antioxidants are so important because they neutralize these free radicals. The master antioxidant in our body is glutathione, but as we age, our glutathione levels fall dramatically, so it is critical to constantly build up our glutathione levels. That's where RegActive, the groundbreaking glutathione-boosting supplement, comes in. RegActive is light years ahead of other glutathione supplements. It is the only formula that actually stimulates your own body's production of glutathione rather than just replacing it. And because RegActive's patented probiotic delivery system enters your body without being destroyed by your stomach acid, it effectively delivers glutathione power cells, which help your body increase glutathione levels naturally. No other product on the market today can do that for your health. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and a very happy Super Bowl weekend. Hey, it's a national holiday. It's Super Bowl. And our Wisconsin affiliate has been very active. Now we've got David from Wisconsin. How are you doing, David?
Doing okay. Dr. Hoffman, I got this wrote down so as to cut down on explanation time. Okay. I take warfarin, and I understand that it can affect the thyroid. I was prescribed levothyroxine, that's synthetic, 0.05 for about a year now, and I'm still so fatigued. And the other thing is, it says to wait 4 hours before consuming any milk. Yeah. And then the other thing is...
With the Synthroid, it says. With the Synthroid, it says to avoid food around the Synthroid time, right?
And what?
It says, with the Synthroid, it says avoid taking food near your Synthroid, right? The thyroid medication.
Well, it's specifically was yellow highlighted not to consume milk within 4 hours.
Okay, got it.
And I've been on that a year, but I'm still so fatigued.
Okay, let me explain the relationship between warfarin, which is a blood thinner. You probably have something like atrial fibrillation or some kind of blood clot situation. Yeah. Okay. So actually, to my knowledge, warfarin does not lower thyroid. Okay, it won't lower or interfere with thyroid medication. But what it does, there is something going on there, which is that, if you have a low thyroid, which you may have, you may require, more warfarin. Okay. And conversely, if you have the opposite problem, like a high thyroid, that's Graves' disease or hyperthyroidism, you may require less warfarin. But so the problem is not that the warfarin messes up your thyroid, it's that the thyroid messes up the warfarin. So, however, your fatigue could be due to not enough thyroid. Doctors are often very, very conservative in patients who have atrial fibrillation about giving them thyroid medication. They may not give you enough to make you feel energized for fear that it's going to make your heart race. I don't know what your numbers are. I don't know what your doctor's thinking, but maybe that's part of the problem. Of course, there are a million other reasons why you could be fatigued, and it's kind of beyond the scope of this phone call to analyze them. A lot of things may be dragging you down. Your thyroid may be precisely on target, and other things may be holding you back. So with regard to taking thyroid medication, a lot of people make the mistake of taking thyroid medication too close to meals. Or, you know, they're in a rush. They wake up, they take their thyroid, and then half an hour later they take their breakfast because they got to get to work. And for those people, what I recommend if they want to get a more effective thyroid dose without interference from the foods that they're eating is, you know, many people wake up a little bit before the time they really have to wake up, you know, maybe a couple hours before, maybe to go to the bathroom, or maybe they just wake up and then they turn over and go back to sleep. Put the thyroid medication by the bedside with a glass of water and take it right then and go back to sleep for an hour or two. That way, when you get up, you don't have to wait hours and hours before you eat, which is pretty inconvenient if you got any kind of job and have to be anyplace, or if you're hungry in the morning, you want to have breakfast. All right?
Well, I heard you talk about real thyroid earlier, and as opposed to synthetic, is real thyroid better?
Well, it can be. I mean, in fact, a lot of studies show that a high percentage of people who are dosed correctly on synthetic thyroid, in other words, the doctor says you're fine, it must be something else, don't feel well. They just don't feel well because the cutoffs that are used for thyroid prescribing are kind of arbitrary, and doctors are very conservative about prescribing thyroid. And the natural thyroid gives you both T4 and T3, the T3, which is active and helps to really energize your cells and your brain. So the problem is that when you have atrial fibrillation, you have to be a little careful with the natural thyroid because it's more prone to cause palpitations. So this is something where, you know, you'd have to find a physician who's well acquainted with prescribing natural thyroid before they get into that with you, because it sounds like you got a complicated medical situation. But you need an analysis from a natural therapist. I got to go. Thank you very much for your call. And I want to leave you with this story. You know, we talk so much these days about the microbiome, the balance of bacteria in the intestinal tract. And recently it's come to light that autism may be related to the microbiome. Even ALS may be related to the microbiome. In a very interesting recent study, the bacteria that inhabit your gastrointestinal tract may influence the course of ALS. Not necessarily the end-all and be-all of ALS, but may have an impact on ALS progression. And now, a far more common condition, unhealthy gut microbes, a cause of hypertension, according to researchers. The researchers found that a group treated with the microbes taken from hypertensive individuals, in other words, they transferred the bacteria from hypertensive individuals to normal individuals, developed elevated blood pressure. This, of course, an animal experiment, but it could be relevant to human hypertension. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's program. Have yourself a great Super Bowl experience. And make sure you check out our website at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Download our podcasts. Become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Have a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation.
Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's KYOLIC.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.